What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of Artists Arguing. I'm Eden XO. I'm hanging out with the ultra sexy, super cool, stylish co-founder of Emo Night, co-founder of Ride or Cry. Josh Madden says she's one of the best DJs he knows, and she really loves her cat. Welcome to the show, Babs Sabo.
Woo! Clapping for myself.
Girl, clap away. What's up? How are you?
It's great.
Nice to meet you.
It's so nice to be here, and it's nice to meet you.
On this rainy Friday.
It's like there's a storm out there, and it's scary.
Yeah, figuratively and literally. Did you watch the inauguration?
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel?
It's not good.
Yeah, we don't have to go there.
Bad. Yeah.
Your face said it all.
Yeah, I was like sitting there this morning watching it and just thinking, you know. And then I looked at my calendar, it's like back-to-back stuff. And then I realized I don't even have time to like emotionally
invest really into this.
Understand this
carrot.
Until tomorrow. Yeah. And I'll probably wake up tomorrow and just be depressed.
Yeah.
Because it's bad.
Yeah. The depression kind of, like for me personally, was really sunk in like on the day he won. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like in this mood of like just like fucking anti in like the best way. Are you going to march tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, girl. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also like starts 5 blocks from my house. So.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So you live downtown.
Yeah.
Do you want to give your address away for stalkers?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would love for people to show up.
But
my
wait,
house.
Real question, can I park at your house? Because I literally have nowhere to park.
I don't have an extra spot.
Of course you don't. It's LA.
Otherwise, see, I don't even drive.
Oh, you don't?
I don't even drive. So we have one spot that my boyfriend takes. And then if I had a car, I would have to pay like $300 a month
for parking.
Mm-hmm.
Parking, okay, honestly, that's been the theme of the week for me. Yesterday, I had to pay $849 to the fucking DMV. By the way,
like literally for what?
Well, 58 of it, IW Radio should pay me back because I got a ticket here a couple weeks ago. I'm just kidding. That one wasn't even on there yet. For what? Okay, so guys listening all over the globe, Babs and I live in LA, and it's a great city. You know, I love it. You love it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do love it.
But what I don't fucking love, and I admire you for not having a car, is the parking situation. Because I live in a very nice apartment, okay? It's really pretty. It has hardwood floors. It has antique crown molding. It has a vintage stove. But you know what it doesn't fucking have? A parking space. So, A, my car gets shit on by birds 24/7. Sprinkler watermark attacked. Dinged like by idiots coming home from the club late at night. And the worst of all is parking tickets. So I had 5 parking tickets total on my car. And I ignored them because when I get them, I get very angry. And it's really childish and stupid, and I'm not dealing with my emotions, but I just crumple them up and throw them on the ground. And I like don't even keep them. I'm like, I fucking refuse to pay you because they're always for really dumb reasons, like not turning your wheels to the curb or being parked like 2 hours and 3 minutes in a 2-hour neighborhood, which is like when there's like 10 spaces around. Like, it's so frustrating. So long story short, my registration was up and I went to register my car and they said, oh, you can't register your car because you have 5 outstanding tickets.
Oh my God.
And they all went from being like $60 to like $200 apiece.
Yeah.
And I was like devastated. And then someone was like, oh, just sign up for AAA because they'll just do it for you and they don't even care about the tickets. So then I go to AAA and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good day after all. Do you know the one in WeHo by Tender Greens?
No, I don't.
Tender Greens is one of my favorite restaurants.
I do like Tender Greens.
So good.
Yeah.
Got my little happy vegan salad. I go into AAA. I do the whole thing. I'm like super nice. Like, you know when you need something from someone?
Yeah.
So you're like, hi, how are you?
Yeah, what a cute sweater you're wearing.
Exactly. Yeah. I did that. And then I was like, yeah, I'd love to sign up. I heard you guys also like take care of registration. She's like, yeah, totally. Do the whole thing, pay the whole fee. And then I go to do it and she goes, oh, I'm sorry, you have a couple outstanding tickets. Mm-hmm. And I was like, motherfucker, this is what someone just told me they wouldn't do to me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, we can totally give you your tags today, but you're going to have to pay these tickets. And I just started crying. And I was like, no, I can't. No, like, I just can't. I don't want to. It's not even like, it's just principle, right? Like, now they're all $200 a piece. It's just infuriating. She's like, well, if you have time today, why don't you go to the DMV and you can maybe see if they'll reduce them to the original amount. So what is wrong with me? I do that. I'm like, okay, so now I've paid for AAA, and then I'm going to go to the DMV anyway. I go all the way to Formosa. I go to the DMV. I get in line, and this is a true fucking story. I'm waiting in line, and all of a sudden, there's an older Hispanic gentleman, which I don't know if he can control it or not, but all of a sudden, he just farts on me.
I swear. Oh, my God.
I swear to God, I know we're just meeting, but he farts on me.
Oh, my God.
And I was standing in line, and it was as if no one heard it but me. It was just like... And I looked around and I was like, I do not belong here. Like, I don't. Like, I'm sorry. This isn't my scene. And then I left. And then I went all the way back to AAA. And I told the woman, I was like, he farted on me. Here's $849. I gotta go. And I just like paid her. And she gave me the stickers and then I left.
Oh my God.
It was
wait,
awful.
So once he farted on you, you just walked out.
I walked out.
You're like,
out.
This is the last.
I walked out.
That's so funny.
And then someone just happily scooted up and like took my spot in line. Like the line was insane.
Yeah.
Like they were like, oh good, someone left. He farted on me. This is the kind of day I've been having a week. My phone broke yesterday, my spare phone, after my other phone got stolen at the top of the week in a studio. This is the kind of week I've been having. So, Babs.
Oh my God. That is quite the week.
Right.
That is quite the week.
So now that I told you a little bit more about me, I in a very, like, fast, intensified kind of way, I wanna do a rapid fire, like, this or that Q&A with you,
okay.
So I can get to know you right away.
Okay.
And you can elaborate on these if you want to. Okay, so we're just going to go.
Such pressure.
we just dive into it here at Artists Arguing. All right, ready?
I'm ready.
First thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Topshop or Vintage Tees?
Topshop.
The Used or My Chemical Romance?
The Used.
Xanax or Klonopin?
Oh boy, Xanax, I guess.
Straight Edge or Nah?
No.
Nah?
No.
The answer would be nah. Okay.
No.
Biting your nails or chewing a pencil?
Oh, chewing a pencil.
Paper bag for 10 cents or carry all your shit from Ralph's?
Carry all my shit.
Emo or emojis?
Oh boy, emo.
Emo! All right.
Did you know we made an emoji keyboard?
For real?
Mm-hmm.
I will and be it, downloading it that.
Yeah, it's the best. And it just responds with emo, like, phrases.
Like, give me a phrase.
It would just be, you know, lyrics from songs.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Emo Night, which you co-created.
Mm-hmm.
Co-founded.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you have the idea to do that? It's the best thing ever. I need to come. I've seen videos and
come.
I've had FOMO.
It's so fun. Yeah, so we're 2 years into it now, which seems so crazy.
Right.
Because it almost seems like, well... Some days it seems like we started yesterday, and some days I don't remember a time before Emo Night, so I don't know. But me and one of the other founders, TJ, we met at a friend's birthday, and we were singing karaoke.
Okay.
And for some reason, I don't remember the exact moment where we both knew that we liked emo, because we had just met, but he was like, do you want to sing Dashboard with me? So we went up and sang Dashboard Confessional Hands Down together.
Okay.
And then after that, we were like, this should be a thing. Like, we should start a night where all our friends come and we just play all these songs that we love. And so that's literally what we did.
So then were you the first DJ of Emo Night?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I was like the very first, at the very first one, I played the first set. So, yeah.
And where did you have the first Emo Night?
The first Emo Night was at the Shortstop in Echo Park.
Cool.
So it's like a very small dive bar.
Okay.
And it was really cool. But yeah, there's a line like down the block, the first one we ever did. And it was raining like this.
That means people really wanted to come.
Yeah. So we realized, like, holy shit, there's a whole world out there, like, that, like, all these people wanted this.
Yeah.
You know? We just didn't know, and they didn't know, and I don't know.
The thing is, everybody loves emo and the mall and Hot Topic. White kids in Middle America, why can I say that? White kids in Middle America just don't know how to stand up for what they like. Like, the minute someone calls it lame, I feel like everybody abandoned it.
Yeah.
But it's like, go back to what you actually, like, what made you happy? Where did you find your bliss? Where did you feel like you fit in? And then now no one, it's kind of like, I don't care. Cool. I fucking love emo. I want to go to emo night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the term definitely had, like, a negative connotation to it for a long time.
Which is so stupid. Like, I don't believe in, like, guilty pleasures or, like, being secretly emo. Like, just, like what you like.
Exactly.
Emo, would you say that emo is to pop punk what ratchet is to hip hop?
I don't think so.
Meaning, like, it's an
a hard no on that.
A hard no. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Because I would say that.
You would?
I mean,
explain that.
Okay, emo is to pop punk what ratchet is to hip hop, meaning, like, emo has become... Emo's gone beyond, like, a genre of music or, like, a culture or, like, a whatever. It's, like, you can be so emo, meaning, like, you can be, like, oh, I'm so ratchet. Like, I just, like, turn up at, like, a hip-hop night or, like, whatever. And, like, I was thinking about it, and I'm, like, because, like, how do you define emo? So for the Eden fans that are listening, who, like, some of you, I was, surprised to see some of your tweets out there. Some of you did grow up listening to... probably the music that would be played at emo night, but a lot of my fans don't give a fuck about this genre. Mm-hmm. But I want you guys to give a fuck. So I'm trying to explain to the very few people who are going to be listening and who don't know, because most IW Radio listeners, you guys are probably laughing at me right now. And so I was thinking about it last night, and I'm like, I wonder if emo is to pop punk what ratchet is to hip hop. But I was like wondering what your take on that would be.
I guess that makes sense in how you explain it. I think I see where
you can tell me if it's totally stupid. It's okay. We fight on this show.
I think you've thought about this longer than I have. So maybe I would just need to give it like a day of letting it sink in.
Yeah. Well, okay. Take that haiku with you after the show.
Okay.
And see how you feel about it. Okay. So you DJ'd the first night. That's really cool because you had this idea with your friend. You knew that you knew that there might be like-minded people out there who felt the way you felt and felt a void in terms of like where they could go or belong or sing their favorite songs out loud. And then you just did it, which I think is badass.
But see, I didn't even know that there were these people.
Oh, really?
I swear to you, we wanted to get our friends together at a bar.
Okay.
And, like, do this.
Like, so you thought there'd be, like, 20 people.
I thought there would be 20 people. Like, wow. Like, 20 to me sounded like a lot of people. I thought maybe 10.
Oh, my God.
You know? And there were 500.
Wow.
So,
and now, what's your average, like?
I mean, in L.A., it's, it, like, averages, like, 2,000.
Damn.
But then there's still a crazy line down the block. Like, some people don't even get in. They come and just stand in line. And people love standing in line. Like, they meet each other.
Of
and
course.
They tell each other these really cool stories about, you know, when they first discovered emo and, like, what it means to them now. And it's so cool. Like, the whole thing is so cool.
And when did you first discover emo? And what does it mean to you now?
Oh, boy. I probably discovered it the first, I guess, but they're more like pop punk, with Sum 41. They were my first favorite band of that genre. And that was like my first emo concert, too.
Okay, cool.
So that's
was that your first concert?
No, because my parents, growing up, they were musicians. So I went to a concert when I was like 6 months old. You know.
Okay, but that was your first. You made the decision to go to that show.
I think so. I've tried to think about this. I think I went to like one other one before then, maybe. But
do you
remember
where
it
was?
It was the Hollywood Palladium.
Cool.
Yeah. It was so fun.
My first concert was Blink.
Amazing.
And it was the Take Off Your Pants and Jacket tour.
Hell yeah.
It was in Vegas, which is a short drive from SoCal.
Yeah.
And
which venue?
MGM Grand.
Okay.
It was huge. It was massive. And I was with my best friend, Wendy, and I was grounded. And my mom, like, took the tickets away and, like, didn't understand that I knew how to, like, go on the internet on my, like, Windows 95 and, like, print them out. And her older sister, Brittany, had a permit, not a license. And we just, like, jacked a car and went anyway.
Oh,
it was really
God.
Epic.
So you snuck out?
Yeah, I did that a lot, though. Yeah.
You're, like, just like every other day.
But I had never gone as far as Vegas. To just be like, bye.
You went from here to Vegas?
I went from Moreno Valley, so we're almost like a quarter of the way there.
Okay.
It's like on the way to Palm Springs. So Moreno Valley, California to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Badass.
It was pretty cool. And then I was so fucked all summer. Like, I was like, it was bad. It was like mowing the lawn. Like, grass wouldn't even grow and I had to mow it again. Like... It was awful. But Sum 41, that's rad.
Yeah.
It's
funny, I actually just went to see Blink last year in Vegas.
Okay, but like, let's talk about that. Because like...
But I didn't have to sneak out.
No, but like, how did you like it?
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah. Do you not like their new album? No?
I mean, no.
What?
By the way, they were my favorite. And I can say this... I mean, listen, you know what? I don't give a fuck. Honestly, I was at Soho House Malibu 2 Sundays ago, and Mark Hoppus was brunching with John Feldman.
Nice.
And I didn't even, like, shiver.
Really?
Something's left my, like, I would still probably pee my pants if I, like, You know what? I do give a fuck. I think I'm pretending to not give a fuck, but I probably do. All the early records for me mean so much, but I just sort of, like, it's not the same without Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what anyone says. It's just not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. What are your thoughts?
I almost think it's better.
What?
Yeah. Because, okay. So, I understand.
By the way, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this.
That's
because my husband's friends with Skiba, and he's like, you need to stop saying this.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a very fair opinion, and right. I think a lot of people have it.
Right.
I very much disagree, though, because okay. I think I love Tom's voice, right? And, like, all the albums with Tom are, I mean, some of the best albums, I think, of our time.
Absolutely.
But I hate it when a band has just, like, a weird dynamic. And I think it was getting to that point where, you know, you saw them live and it was just weird. Because all of a sudden Tom was only talking about aliens. And, you know, like, he was just, like, getting super fucking weird. And it kind of threw me off from liking them because...
Because you felt their energy was
yeah,
off.
Yeah. It felt really, like, not
But then
genuine.
Why not... Okay, I agree with that. Like, their energy has been off for years.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them again. I've seen them several times. I saw them again when they reunited in, like, 2007 at an MTV Movies After Award party. It was, like, the big secret was Blink's reuniting, like, playing the first show together in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God! Like, I fangirled out again, and it was awesome and whatever. But I did feel what you're describing, which there's a tension. There was a tension there. But, I mean, that's why I kind of think, why didn't they just start a new band? Why call it Blink-182 then?
Because they still play, you know, a
I bunch
know, but
of they,
old
they
songs.
Really shouldn't. They really shouldn't.
It's very good. It's so good.
Okay, well... This is why the show is called Artists Arguing. I'm like, I mean,
love it. I love it.
I just feel like the way there's something about like the tone of Mark and Tom singing together,
mm-hmm.
and I guess you're right. I mean, before Travis, there was who was first in Blink before Travis? I forget.
Scott Raynor.
Okay, so see, I mean, I'm kind of being a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like no offense to any of them. I love them all. And like I love, you know, I like Skiba separately.
Yeah.
Like that's just me though.
But here's the thing.
Okay. Tell me,
Babs. And here's my thing always is like I can relate this also to emo night and some people coming to emo night and hearing The Killers and then they go on a rant about like, well, The Killers aren't emo. Like this place sucks.
No, this is so different.
It's very different.
You're making a hard left.
No, but listen. Okay. Listen, because I've been thinking about this a lot and I think people are so afraid of like thinking outside of exactly what it is that they've filed something under, right? So everyone like filed Blink-182 under this like Tom, Mark, Travis, and that was it. And I refuse to be open to this like new trio, right?
Okay.
And it's like the second you leave that behind and the second you realize, okay, that's like the end of that Blink era and this is just a different band and they still play these old songs, but they've made some amazing new songs. And you look at it as this new trio.
You know what? You're right. I need to, okay, you're opening up my mind. Maybe... Okay.
Just look at it as a completely different band.
All right.
You know?
Objectively, the new songs, yeah, I like them.
They're great.
They're good songs. I think it's, you're right. My ear and my brain and my heart, I just can't take them singing together. When the mix is right, though, and one or the other is kind of taking the reins, it is good. It is good. I think I have filed like just the blend of Tom and Mark's voice in my database, and
which
it's
is
causing
fine.
An emotional glitch for me.
Right, I totally get you. I get it,
but that's
I think
fair.
It's like you just have to be, you know, it's like you have to respect that Travis and Mark didn't want to give this up, and you have to respect that like they decided to grow in this way, and they've done it. I think in such a graceful way.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many people who are hating on it, but they've just been like, well, this is what we're doing. And it's, it's what we want to do. And I love, like, their chemistry, and I love the new songs they've made.
Oh, well, you're a lover, aren't you?
No, I dislike a lot of things. Well, I love.
Let's take a look. I love, dude. I mean, my first concert. I mean, let's not get it twisted. I'm obsessed. I mean, I was obsessed. I still am. Like, if I hear a song on K-Rock, like an older song, I like roll the windows down and scream it out.
Yeah, so I think in that sense, it's probably different for you too, because I wasn't like the biggest Blink fan.
Yeah, they were my number one. Yeah, like so, if someone said, "What was your favorite band?" I'd say Blink.
Yeah,
like 100%.
Like so I think that would give you like a totally different perspective.
Who was your number one?
My number one was Taking Back Sunday.
Ah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Because wasn't there like an issue? Wasn't there some kind of weird beef with you calling your night Taking Back Tuesday? Mm-hmm. So do you want to, let's take a break and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
What's up, guys? We're back and I'm hanging out with Babs, and she's going to get into the story behind Taking Back Tuesday versus Taking Back Sunday. What happened?
Oh, boy. So going back to what I said, that we wanted to create an event where we just hang out with our friends and kind of, you know, make this night where we play the songs that we love and grew up to. It was literally out of respect for this genre.
Right.
And so we called it Taking Back Tuesday.
Great name.
Right.
We thought
we were going to call it Taking Back Thursday. But the bar that we wanted to do it at, we're like, I don't think it would do well on a Thursday. That's like our busiest night. And we don't know if you'll get any people here. And we're like, you're right. Don't know either.
Cut to 2,000 people.
Yeah. And so we did it on Tuesday, and we called it Taking Back Tuesday. And it was interesting because in the beginning, it seemed fine. Like, they never spoke up about anything. And in fact, they would tweet, like, nice things at us. And I don't know. So it all seemed fine, and then at like last summer,
did you like fangirl when you saw like a tweet from them?
Yeah, I died.
Yeah, you died.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so excited, and then I think it was last summer at Taste of Chaos, or last fall at Taste of Chaos. He did an interview with Billboard, Adam, lead singer,
yeah,
and just, you know, said we owe him money, and
what's his name, Lazara?
Adam Lazara.
Lazara, yeah.
Yeah, and that
he said you owed him money.
We owe him money, and that, you know, he doesn't. I think he just doesn't want to be stuck in like the nostalgic aspect of his music, you know, because they keep making new music. But it's a perfect example of like Blink 182 and how much I love their new album. Like, we play so much new music at Emo Night, and we have new bands play upstairs at the Echo, and we're all about like new music, and then also playing these old songs that we grew up listening to. And so, I don't know, it just blew so out of proportion because it was in Billboard. And then, you know, we had to put out a statement because, you know, it's either that or it says, like, Emo Night founders decided to not comment. And that's, like, way worse, you know?
Yeah.
So we just put out this, like, nice statement. And we're like, if you ever come to Emo Night, you'll realize, like, this is
also
out of, like love for the music.
Honestly, like, what a weenie. Because, like, that's, like, such a good look for them, I feel like. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's, like, an homage. Like, it's, that's, like, cool to me. That's amazing that you did that.
I think about this so much because Taking Back Sunday for me was like Blink for
your
you.
Blink,
you know,
yeah.
I ditched a whole week of high school to like drive up the West Coast and see all their tour stops. And
wow,
you know, I stood in line 6 hours early. I like devoted my teenage years to Taking Back Sunday, and so I don't know and he called us assholes. You know,
oh my god.
So it's like to have the your idol call you an asshole, and then it's printed in like one of the biggest publications in the world.
Oh,
I mean, imagine. I was just like, this is the saddest day of my whole life. And it's ironic because we created this event to celebrate this music. And,
right.
And because he doesn't understand that, you know, he has this like warped conception of like what it is.
Adam, let's get you on the show, bud. Let's get you on. Let's
come
sort this out.
Night. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Emo Night and Artists Arguing. Let's hash this out. Let's have you come on. I think that I could be the mediator. I'm definitely Team Babs on this one, but I'm really willing to hear you out. But I also want to explain to you how this is like a very good look for you, dude. Like, it's a really good thing, and I think it's awesome, and you should embrace it. And it makes me. Sad for you that you're not. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's weird, though. And that's, I mean, so what'd your statement say?
It's actually weird. It's like the first time I've ever talked about this.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to. We can cut this whole thing out if you don't want to.
No, it's totally fine. I think it's been long enough where for a long time I was like, I don't even want to talk about this because I was just pretending like it wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
Because it was so heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
Our statement basically just said, you know, we started this from the love for this music.
Right.
And that if, you know, we invite him to come and see it firsthand, and if at any point, you know, and to this day, like, if at any point he wants to, like, call me and talk it out or, you know, meet up and talk it out, like, I'm so open to that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just this nice statement about how much we love their band, and we did it, too, because we, like, love them so much.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, yeah, but we... What's the most interesting thing about it, though, is it wasn't even called Taking Back Tuesday for a long time.
Mm.
We called that maybe that for the first 4 months, and then we renamed it Emo Night.
Okay.
So that's why it was interesting that, like, way after that, he got mad. But,
well,
it's okay.
Hopefully he'll listen to this episode and have a change of heart, because I think what you're doing is really cool, and I also think Taking Back Sunday is really rad.
So rad.
I love them.
I love them forever.
Okay, well, that was really interesting. I didn't know you had never talked about that.
Yeah.
I really do love you, Mark. I should have walked up to you at brunch. Maybe I just felt
you should have.
Maybe I just felt rejected.
Literally the nicest human being that walks the earth.
I think I just felt rejected. You know, I just felt a little insecure. I didn't have any. I just had like a little BB cream on, and I wasn't like looking all. You know, it's just really.
Yeah, imagine you walk up. He's like, "Excuse me." You're not wearing enough makeup to be talking.
No, I was to the point, can I be honest, I was so obsessed when I was younger that I wanted to change my name to Sky. Like, because I was like, he's mine. Like, I was so...
Was Mark your favorite?
He was my... It switched. He was my favorite from, like, discovering them to adulthood. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, like, Travis is such a babe. Travis follows me on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know why. But I love you, Trav. Also, Trav is vegan.
He is vegan.
And I see him at Crossroads and, like...
We were just talking about Crossroads.
Give him the eye. Funny. We're both taken, but, you know. I'm just kidding. It's okay. I'm allowed. I'm allowed to fan out. All right. But so Mark's DJed Emo Night.
Yeah.
And I realized we had some friends in common. You're friends with Captain Cutts.
Mm-hmm.
As am I.
Yeah.
How do you know those guys?
We know those guys... Through Emo Night.
Oh.
I mean, I met them through Emo Night. They DJ all the time. Have you heard their mixtapes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they DJ pretty much every month now. And then also for Ride or Cry, we're working on their music video.
Oh, cool.
It was shot, was it yesterday? 2 days ago?
Amazing.
Yeah, so Morgan, who's the third founder of Emo Night, third founder of Ride or Cry as well, directs music videos, so he worked with them on
that. And that's so cool. Mm-hmm. I love them. They're the fucking best.
They're the best.
They're so fun. They're amazing producers, by the way.
They're such good producers. And I love them so much that I sometimes feel like I, like, weird them out, you know? Like, sometimes I have to hold myself back because I think they're just the coolest guys.
They're the coolest guys.
So nice and so talented. And every time they show up, I'm like, just like crying. And they're like, all right, Babs.
I love them. I was working in the studio with them a couple years ago for my own stuff for like a couple months. And I don't know if their studio is still next to Circus Liquor. Is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it used to be next to that. You know Circus Liquor, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Have you seen Clueless?
Yeah.
Remember where she gets robbed?
Yeah.
She's like, this isn't a Laia dress. And she has to, like, get on the floor.
Yeah.
And there's that big clown neon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's, like, Circus Liquor store.
That's a real place?
It's a real place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's right here?
Yeah, right on the corner.
It's right on the corner. It's right by Adobe. Okay, well, Captain Cut Studio may or may not still be. Oh, shit, I'm blowing their spot. Well, whatever. It's near there, the vicinity of Circus Liquor. And we would walk there, like, every day. And they would always buy all these snacks and, like, drinks and stuff. And I was never, like, a snacker. But I felt so, like, kind of insecure in the beginning where I was like, God, they're all buying all this stuff. Like, maybe I'll just pick something. Like, because they'd always be like, do you want anything? So one day I just was like, I'll take these. And I just grabbed, like, hot Cheetos.
Yes.
No, excuse me, Takis. Hot Takis.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, okay, cool.
Choice.
And then they got, I know, what a choice. And they got them, and then I, like, was eating them, like, kind of, like, to be polite. And then I was like, oh, my God, these are so good. And so then, like, I would, like, we'd, like, take breaks, and I'd be like, do you think we could go get, like, more hot Takis? And now I have an actual addiction, and they're full of GMOs and, like, MSGs and, like, they're so – if I die, you guys, from cancer, I blame Takis. And I also blame Captain Cuts.
Yeah. That's some real shit.
Real shit. Real shit right there.
I love that. Have you seen that video, Hot Cheetos and Takis?
No.
Okay.
This is a video?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Little kids rapping about Hot Cheetos and Takis.
Oh, my God. I need to see this. I'm adding this to my notes right now.
You have to.
Is it just called Hot Cheetos and Takis?
Yeah.
Great.
But that's how I found out about Takis.
Takis are so good.
I love Hot Cheetos, and then they came out with this song about Hot Cheetos and Takis. And
okay, but you loved Hot Cheetos before, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, see, not even a thing for me.
Really?
I mean, I just didn't know that I loved them. Oh. I just grabbed something out of politeness.
Yeah.
Like, after, like, the fifth time of being asked, do I want
something? But I love that it was Takis that you got.
They were just there.
Like, so
that
random.
Goes to show you placement in the store. And I was like, yeah, I'll take these, I guess. Yeah. I'm addicted.
Yeah, they're so good.
Oh, my God, I gotta watch this. So, okay, so with Ride or Cry, you're doing their video. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So explain, like, the artistic side of you. I mean, obviously you're an artist, so I'm having you on the show. Like, what's your involvement with a project like that? Like, what do you like to do? What gets you off? Like, what gets your wheels turning? What made you want to start Ride or Cry?
So we, TJ and I, worked at a digital agency before.
Okay.
And that's where we started Emo Night, and that was, like, our side gig. And then we realized, like, we have to put in a lot more effort than just our side gig into it. So we just quit that job, and then we started Ride or Cry.
Okay.
And still kept doing Emo Night. But, yeah, I mean, I work more on the social media digital strategy side.
Okay.
So I run social media and digital, and do, like, a bit of content creation for a number of artists. And then Morgan does more of, like, the music video side of things. And then, you know, we all dabble in other things as well, but...
What's your favorite music video of all time?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Top three.
Wow. That's, like, the toughest question ever.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like I could name, like, 20.
Name some.
Smack My Bitch Up, Prodigy, shot by Jonas Åkerlund, who's, like, a fucking genius. He's my favorite director of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a meeting with him at his house, which is a mansion painted all black.
Nice.
In the neighborhood of, like, normal white Hollywood Hills mansions.
It sounds very Marilyn Manson-y.
It's fucking rad, and there's a giant gong to keep ghosts away.
Oh my God.
That, like, their, like, housekeeper bangs on every certain time of the day. It was wild.
Wow.
That's probably my favorite video of all time. It was groundbreaking. It's the one where it's POV.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know the video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably that. let me see, number two. Ray of Light.
It's a good one.
So good. Let me think. I guess you're right. I can't name 20. Well, I could, but let me be really careful here. I also love everything Sophie Mueller does.
Mm-hmm.
She does a lot of the No Doubt videos and a lot of almost every Gwen video. Those videos are great.
Yeah, those are really good.
Really great. Like Cool. She shot Cool for Gwen's solo record. The one where it's like a actually Tony's wife is, I never realized, plays the girlfriend in Cool.
Oh, wow.
Tony Kanaal's wife is the actress in Cool, and it's kind of funny because the song's written about her whole relationship with Tony, and like now we're cool, and like it's cool to be like, let's put your girl in it. Yeah, that video is amazing. She's such an icon.
She really
probably
is.
Those three. I don't know. I could probably think of some more. Those are just the first three off the top of my head. What about you?
The one that like keeps popping into my head is Korn.
Mm-hmm.
Korn's music video.
Okay.
And I can't
Which one?
Think of
when
the
they're
song.
On the overpass.
No, the one with the
bullet.
Dogs.
With the bullet. Oh, yeah.
And the bullet, like, goes through everything.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's a good video.
That's a really good video.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's, like, all I can think of.
All right. Shout out to Korn.
Yeah.
Did you know that... shout out to Lauren Christie, by the way. This is some, like, songwriting nerd trivia. I always thought Korn wrote all their songs.
Do they not?
They co-write. Well, they do. They do. But they co-wrote the majority of them with a pop writer named Lauren Christie, who wrote Avril Lavigne's Complicated.
Wow.
True fucking story. Damn. Look it up, guys. But I feel like back then, if that would have been known, it would be, like, weird.
Really weird.
But it's not weird to me at all. I mean, I think collaboration is key in making great music.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of funny?
With a band like Korn, they would write all their own stuff.
I'm sure they did a lot of the heavy lifting. But they collaborated and co-wrote with Lauren Christie quite a bit.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty That's crazy. Really, and the reason I know this is I had a session with her recently and she had all these Korn plaques. And I was like, what did you do with Korn? She's like, oh, I co-wrote like a lot of their records. And wow. I was like, what? Yeah. It like somehow never got out, but it's out now. This is quite an episode.
You just like release secret information.
I know. The thing is, I don't think anyone's listening yet, but when they go back in time, they're going to be like, oh my God, Artists Arguing like was groundbreaking. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Hungary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's not at all what I thought you would say. That you're going to be like Florida or like something.
Yeah, I feel like every time I say that, no one's ever been like, okay.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Oh, my God.
That's really kind of cool. Random, that is random.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you were born in Hungary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I moved here when I was like 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it kind of, to tie back to hot Cheetos, it was like the first thing I ate when I got here and I got really addicted to them. And it was all I would eat because they don't have that in Hungary.
I love that.
Like, I had it in the first hot Cheeto I had. Like, my life changed.
Yeah.
And it's all I ate.
Yeah.
Like, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had really red fingernails.
I had just, everything was red.
You were the girl at school that I, like, didn't want to borrow a sheet of paper from.
Exactly. Like, all my papers had, like,
You, like, turned in your work and it had, like, orange fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was me.
So then you moved here at 10. That's pretty old to, it was very young, obviously, but you just have to start over?
I know,
When you say here, where?
I moved to Hollywood.
To Hollywood, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hollywood, yeah.
So, did you speak English?
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh my God.
I sat in class just like staring at people for 4 months. I had no idea what was going on. But after 4 months, I kind of got into it. Like, when you're that young, it's easier to learn a language.
Of course. But so. Still, 10 is still, like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
It was so crazy.
Wow. So, wow.
I excelled at math.
Of course you
but
did.
But everything else, it was really
hard,
tough.
A challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what was going on ever.
Why did you move here?
My parents are graphic designers and they got jobs here.
Did they speak English prior?
A little bit.
Okay.
None of us really. I mean, like, I guess I did I knew like 10 words or something.
Do they have an accent now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my dad's an immigrant. He does too.
Where is he from?
He's from Iran.
Oh, nice.
And he's like lived here for 40 plus years and he's still.
Yeah.
Puts an E in front of things. He'll be like, where is a street named? Like, it's not a street. It's street.
I love that.
Yeah, he's cute. I love accents.
Yeah, me too.
That's cool. And do you speak, what in Hungary, do you speak Hungarian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's also not, like, most people don't know that. So you're fine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because when people are like, oh, you know, in Iran, do they speak Iranian? It's like, no, the language is called Farsi, so you, like, sound like a douche. And I didn't want to be that right now. I didn't want to be,
like... But you did great.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, girl.
You killed it.
And do you speak Hungarian?
I do.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Have there ever been any Hungarian emo bands?
No.
There should be.
There should be.
There was...
But no, it's... Because I really want to throw one there. There's like, a ship there that's docked, and they turned it into a venue. So it has, like, three different rooms.
Okay.
So it's my dream to throw an emo night on it.
Have you thrown nights internationally?
The most international we've gone is Canada.
Okay.
But we are planning on it.
What about, I feel like in Sweden there's a huge...
Yeah, I mean, even, like, London and Germany, like, there are a ton of
places. Did you still love Millencolin? Do you like Millencolin Fish?
Yeah, I like
He's
them
like a
lot.
Key figure.
Weren't they Swedish? Am I right or no?
Are they the band that sings that song, No Cigar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know what they're from.
Swedish.
Interesting.
I think. We should Google.
They were on the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Not on the internet. I just remember they had a song called Penguins and Polar Bears that I was like, fucking, can we play that? We're going to get into that. That's going to be the closing song, I feel like. Penguins and Polar Bears. Well, I love Mill and Colin, and I believe they're Swedish, and I believe Sweden could use an emo night. So let's make that happen, folks. All right, we're going to take some questions for you that we got from some fans on Twitter. Michael Laney Spears, Babs, why do you feel it's important to have events like Emo Night?
I think it's important to have events like Emo Night because it brings a community of people, of like-minded people together. And it's like a just a chance for everybody to have a really good time and be around really positive people. And,
totally.
You know, I feel like a lot of people come by themselves and just make friends. You know, a lot of people have made, like, new friends that are now their best friends.
I love that.
And it's just, like, a really special place.
That's amazing. I definitely need to come to Emo Night.
You have to.
All right, Abby Dance Stars. Do you have a boyfriend, and who was your celeb crush when you were young? Also, how old were you when you had your first kiss? This is, like, a five-parter.
Wow.
Okay, so do you have a boyfriend?
I do have a boyfriend, yes. He's amazing. My first celebrity crush growing up. I mean, I guess probably Derek from Sum 41.
Okay.
Was my first like crush.
Okay. How old were you when you had your first kiss?
I think I was 15.
Okay.
And I got mono.
Oh my God. No.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I am 100% sure.
Oh, wow.
I had my first kiss, then woke up with mono the next day. I couldn't go to school for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And my dad took me to the doctor. So embarrassing. And he's like, well, what does she have? And he's like, it's mono. And he's like, I don't know what that is. And the doctor was like, literally, like, the only way you can get it is by kissing someone.
You were like, no, I drank out of their water bottle.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, at 15, you're allowed to have a kiss, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's still so awkward.
Are Hungarian parents, like, strict?
Oh, no. My parents are too chill. You know, they were very chill.
Okay.
But it was still just, like, so weird because it was, like, my first kiss, and it was with this, like,
what
guy
was his
that
name?
I had, Will. And I had such a crush on him for, like, since I'd moved to America, pretty much, because our parents worked together, so I would see him sometimes, and I was just, like, in love with him. And then now he plays a didgeridoo.
What? I don't even know what that means. You might as well just, like, spoken Hungarian
Look up a didgeridoo. He's, like, a professional didgeridoo player.
What do you mean? This is an instrument?
Yeah.
A didgeridoo.
It's quite the instrument. I don't even know how to spell it.
Oh, it's like a horn, huh?
Sure.
What is this?
Morgan, by the way, does a really good didgeridoo sound.
It's like an African horn.
Yeah, it's like this long, weird.
We had a Bannon.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like a way to communicate with aliens.
Yeah. And but that's what he does now.
Very phallic looking.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So, I don't know. Like, the whoever's in is just like a mess.
Whoever like plays with him, I wouldn't share a didgeridoo with him if he gave you mono back in the day. Who knows what kind of like you know hygienic habits he has. Now.
Yeah. And I didn't kiss anyone for so long after that because
oh,
I was
no,
just
he scarred you.
Terrified.
Oh,
like,
no.
I don't know if you guys have had mono, but it is the worst. You physically can't get up.
No, I never had it, but can I be honest? I always wanted it.
Ugh.
Because it was such
you just, like, don't do anything.
It was such a trendy word.
Right.
Like, in school, like, I feel like all the bad, cool girls had it.
Right.
Like, it would be, like, I don't know. There was this girl I went to school with named Olivia Runge, and she would be like, Olivia Runge has mono. Like, she's so cool. And, like, so part of me was like, I want mono. But I'm glad I never had it.
Yeah.
Babs, you were fucking awesome. Thank you so much for coming on Artists Arguing. I'm going to open my mind to the new Blink album.
Oh, I'm so glad I could do that. Just one person at a time. But thank you for having me. This was fun.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get into our last song of the show. I love this song. Special interruption before we get into Mill and Colin. Just kidding. We faked you out. Tom, go for it.
I did a Google search for Red Cry Out for Fenner, and I still don't know what it means, but the first Google suggestion is, will the human race become extinct?
So apropos. It's Inauguration Day. Thank you for that question.